It Happens Every Spring was written by Dr. Gary Chapman and Catherine Palmer. This audio version is published by Oasis Audio through an agreement with Tyndale House Publishers. I'm Jill Schellebarger. Chapter 1. The night lightning struck a power pole on the west side of Lake of the Ozarks, Patsy Pringle knew right away there would be trouble in Deepwater Cove. The sizzling bolt of brilliant radiance brought a deafening clap of thunder and knocked out the electricity in all of the neighborhood's 23 houses. Light bulbs blinked off, computers fried, televisions died, and dogs scooted on their bellies to hide under beds. Up the road from the cove, at the Just As I Am beauty salon in the little town of Tranquility, Missouri, the blow dryer in Patsy's hand whined down to nothing, bringing Esther Moore's weekly set and style appointment to a sudden end. "Well, I'll be," Patsy said. "Good thing you were my last appointment of the day. I'm going to have to shut her down." "Nuts," Esther muttered as she patted her damp hair. "I'd better head home and rescue Charlie. My husband couldn't find a candle with a search warrant." Patsy fished a flashlight from the drawer at her styling station and snapped it on. As she helped the older woman locate her purse and keys, she worried about the widows in the neighborhood. Deepwater Cove was home to 7 of them, ranging in age from 63 to 94. This early in March, many would have had their electric heaters on during the storm. She hoped they could find enough blankets to stay warm. "I'll bet Boofer's beside himself," Esther said. "That mutt is too fat to get behind the sofa these days. He'll be howling, and Charlie'll be bumping his bony old knees on the coffee table trying to find that dog. The power company probably won't get the lights back on for hours. You never do. Well, bye, Patsy. Charlie'll be itching to get out in his golf cart and check on the neighbors." "Well, tell him to be careful," Patsy warned. "The rain is starting to freeze up." She frowned as she pictured the elderly man maneuvering icy, narrow roads in the lake community's preferred mode of transportation. Deepwater Cove boasted 15 golf carts, though the nearest 18-hole course was all the way over in Osage Beach. A reliable golf cart could carry a fishing pole, a tackle box, a minnow bucket, a stringer of crappie, and a dog. It could get a person to the lake shore, the mailbox, a neighbor's house, or clear around the cove and back again. The logic was simple, Patsy acknowledged. If a golf cart could take you somewhere, why walk? As she raised an umbrella and led Esther Moore through the driving downpour toward her car, it occurred to Patsy that right away both women had worried about the neighbors. Plenty of other things could have come to mind. Drainage ditches overflowing, roofs leaking, tree limbs snapping off in the wind. But no, the people were first. Of course neighbors would check on each other. That's just how it was in Deepwater Cove. "A little storm won't stop Charlie once he gets out in his cart," Esther shouted over the howling wind. "Neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Off, I heard that once, I heard it a million times. Charlie wasn't a mailman all those years for nothing." Brenda Hansen was in the basement, painting a dining room chair, when lightning struck the electric pole right outside her house on Sunny Slope Lane in Deepwater Cove. Startled by the peal of thunder and the sparks shooting through the darkness, she dropped her paintbrush on the floor. The cat, who'd been curled up with his tail over his nose in the cold room, yowled, leaped straight up, and landed with all 4 feet in a tray of pink paint. The instant his paws hit the chilly liquid, he squalled again, bounded out of the tray, and darted for cover. "Oh, Ozzie, what now?" Still jumpy from the ear-splitting thunder, Brenda looked toward the electric pole. A man stood just outside the basement sliding glass door. Tall, thin, dark. Another burst of zigzag light brightened the sky, and she saw his beard and long hair and dripping pants. He was staring at her. "Steve!" she cried out. Realizing instantly that of course her husband wasn't home, she ran for the stairs and grabbed the rail. Falling, stumbling, scraping her shins, Brenda catapulted herself up to the main floor of the house. "Oh, Lord, help me, Lord, Lord, please help me," she prayed out loud as she felt her way through the living room in the dark. Had she locked the basement door earlier today? No, she'd pushed back the glass and pulled the screen across to let in fresh air and ventilate the paint fumes. What if the man was inside already? What if he came after her? Was that him following her up the stairs? Brenda couldn't see a thing as she lurched across the tiled foyer.